Spencer writes, "If some of my memories of my early childhood on Amberson Avenue are vague, there is nothing in the least vague about Christmas. It was the climax of the winter, the crown of the year. The weeks before it came were feverish with activity and excitement. We pored over Schwartz's catalog, putting down on our lists almost every toy that was advertised. I think we knew in our hearts that we would not be given gifts of such unearthly splendor, but it was fun to ask for them anyway."
Johnny wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a sled, Nellie wants a picture book, yellow, blue, and red. Now I think I'll leave to you what to give the rest. Choose for me, dear Santa Claus, who will know the best.
When Christmas Eve finally came, we gathered in Mother's and Father's room to hang up stockings. Adeline and Kate had each a rather thin cotton stocking on which were stamped pictures of Santa Claus and his reindeer, toys, Christmas trees, children opening presents. I always envied my big sisters their Christmas stockings, though I felt the stockings that Mother made for the rest of us really held more. They were white flannel creations with red toes and red cuffs at the top, and the cuffs cut in points, and on each point, a tiny tinkling brass bell. Altogether, 7 limp children's stockings and 2 limp parents' stockings hung in a row from the mantelpiece in Mother's and Father's room when we went to bed.
When the clock is striking 12, when I'm fast asleep, down the chimney broad and black, with your pack you'll creep. All the stockings you will find hanging in a row. Mine will be the shortest one, you'll be sure to know.
We must have slept when we got to our parents' room, though I remember lying awake for what seemed hours, too excited to close my eyes. I don't suppose Mother and Father got any more sleep than other parents do the night before Christmas, for the tree had to be decorated, the presents set out, and all made ready before they could go to bed.
Children now are sleeping.
We cannot sleep at all. Come, let us quickly crawl. Creep softly down the hall. Do let us see.
We cannot sleep at all. Come, let us quickly crawl.
Dreaming of Santa Claus and the Christmas tree.
We cannot sleep at all.
Come, let us quickly crawl. Creep softly down the hall.
All good children now are sleeping.
All of us children were ready to begin operations early on Christmas morning. I do not think we were allowed to get up before 7, but it was certainly no later than that. When clad in bathrobes and slippers, we pattered into our parents' room and woke them with shouts of Merry Christmas. When we were all assembled, the stockings, now bulging delightfully, were lifted down one by one and handed to their respective owners. All 7 of us settled down with Mother and Father on their great double bed to enjoy the first thrills of Christmas. How anyone could find enough things to fill the stockings of 7 children I do not know. But they were always full, and their contents satisfying. Tiny dolls, china animals, handkerchiefs, puzzles, tops, all sorts of gadgets and trinkets to delight our hearts. First comes the stocking of little Nell. Oh, dear Santa, fill it well. Give her a dolly that laughs and cries, one that will open and shut its eyes.
Oh, 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 who wouldn't go? Oh, 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 who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick.
Next comes a stocking of little Will. Oh, just see what a glorious fill. Here is a hammer and lots of tacks. Also a ball and a whip that cracks.
Oh, 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 who wouldn't go? Oh, 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 who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick.
We were all too excited to eat, but we were made to tuck away a reasonable amount of breakfast anyway. The after-breakfast period, while we waited for Grandfather and Aunt Ethel to come down the street to go into the Christmas tree room with us, would have been sheer agony if it had not been for the orange box to control our impatience. It was the second joy of Christmas. For days beforehand, we expected it to arrive from family in East Orange, New Jersey. It was always a wonderful box, full of lovely surprises. Opening orange box gifts kept us occupied after breakfast, though even in the midst of tearing off tissue paper and ribbon, we kept running to the window to see whether or not Grandfather and Aunt Ethel were finally coming down the street. Appeared. We barely allowed them time to remove their wraps before we made for the Christmas tree room. There, Grandfather, Aunt Ethel, Mother, Father, and 7 little Spencers gathered outside, ready to burst in the minute the door was opened, into a room transformed. The tree glittered, lambs, shepherds, toy houses sat on moss beneath it. Tables covered with presents filled the room.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, with faithful leaves unchanging. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, with faithful leaves unchanging. Not only green in summer's heat, but also winter snow and sleet. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, with faithful leaves unchanging.
Christmas, very early in life, gave me the first inkling that joy and sorrow are closely linked. I was always torn between my desire to see what was in the packages and pain at the thought of reaching the last one. As I lay in bed, after the wonderful day had ended, I remembered the feeling of sadness that oppressed me as I thought of the eternity that must pass before another Christmas came again. When you've grown up, my dears, and are as old as I, you'll often ponder on the years that grow so swiftly by, my dears, that roll so swiftly by, and of the many lands you will have journeyed through.
Again.